It's bechlal not an experience. The Alter Rebbe is here addressing a Jew who's perturbed by the fact that he's davening. And the Machshava Zaris enter into his mind. So he tells you, you asserted your divine soul for the Nefesh HaBahamas was threatened. So a person could stand and think, this is a man who's experiencing something, who has a relationship with his divine soul. What about our davenings? Even if it's in the situation where we remove our minds from, if we remove our minds from whatever is bothering us, and we daven. We don't believe in our davening. But the Alter Rebbe does believe in your davening. We don't believe in our davening because we think that the animal soul that we experience so often means that our davening doesn't begin to be a davening. So the Alter Rebbe says, don't overestimate yourself, but don't underestimate yourself. You have a nefesh HaBahamas, we will not deny it. Your davening will be fraught with distracting thoughts. Don't say that you don't have a soul. And don't say that you cannot connect with your soul. Each person has a part within him. A little, innocent, sacred consciousness and identity that I don't have. You have it. It's your divine spark. An individualistic, sacred character that you have to nurture. It's your little flower. Don't say you don't have it. When you shtozach davenin in the morning, you can connect with that element. And the fact that your davening experience will be fraught with all types of impulses and cravings, don't say, I'm totally alien from it, it's disconnected with me. No. There is a battle in you like in everyone else. Your battle might be powerful, your battle might be strong, but it's a battle, and a battle, by the very definition, indicates that there are two parties involved. That means you have a divine consciousness that you can assert. Perhaps you have asserted in a very minute way, and the animal soul sensed even a minute expression of it. Boom, trach, it's going to get you right in the beginning. So don't be disillusioned to expect a davening that's totally devoid of any machshava zaris. That's a wrong expectation. Sometimes you think, I'm going to daven today, it's going to be, I'm a chaya, it's going to flow like water, I'm going to, even Yom Kippur, you know, Yom Kippur Jews are in a good spiritual mood. I'm going to daven today, I'll feel good about myself. So that sometimes goes into the definition of the first person, who didn't yet get rid of his machshava zaris, because the worst machshava zaris is, I'm going to daven and I'm going to feel good. Your ego. So we're not talking about, but then sometimes, like, even if you're in a spiritual mood and you feel it's going to flow and you start davening, and Pesukei Zimra is flowing, Baruch Shamar is flowing, you love the words, you enter into a state of ecstasy, of passion, and so on and so forth, and you have an elevation, and then, at the peak of that experience, totally mundane, irrelevant nonsense enters into your mind, and suddenly you're just thinking about that. And you come back and you say, "As achun achvei, what type of ponim does my davening have? It's worthless. Finish off 5 minutes, take off your tefillin, and stop fooling yourself and the whole world. Stop deceiving yourself." Zagdal Tereba, don't have an expectation which is wrong, but on the other hand, don't allow that to be victorious over you. Don't allow that to cause a breakdown in your life. We once spoke about it. I once read that this was in fact the comforting point for Rivka, for Rebecca. The Pasuk in Parshas Telda says, in the dramatic story when Rivka becomes pregnant, after many years of experiencing an inability of having children, and then she experiences vayishreitzitzu habonim bekirba, the pasuk says, she experiences deep agitation within her. Vatoimer im kein lama zanaychi. As our sages say, Rivka experienced not just agitation, physical agitation, but mental, psychological agitation. When she would pass by a pagan church or monument or temple, whatever it was called, shrine, a pagan polytheistic shrine, she would suddenly feel the child gravitating towards that edifice, towards that shrine. When she would pass a Beis Medrash, a place of Torah study, she would feel the child gravitating to that element. V'atomer im kein lemaza anechi. Rivka says, if so, why am I? Why do I exist? Is my existence worth anything? V'atelech l'drish v'Hashem, she went to inquire by God. Hashem communicated to her through the prophet, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, there are two nations in your womb. Ushnei Lu'umim Imeayich Yiparedu, two nationalities, two regimes will become separated from your inwards, from your inside. Ula'im Ilaim Yematz, and the might will pass from one regime to the other. So some commentators asked the question, Rivka was suddenly comforted. Why were you comforted? The pain did not reside. The labor pains she was experiencing, the pregnancy complications she had, still existed in their full intensity. That experiencing of gravitating towards a pagan shrine and to a Beis Medrash, a place of Torah, was still happening day by day, every single day. What was the new insight that Rivka heard from the prophet that suddenly gave her comfort? And the answer from a deeper Hasidic spiritual point of view is, Rivka thought there was one child in her. And if there's one child in you, when you're passing a pagan shrine, it's gravitating to that shrine. When you're passing a Beis Medrash, it's gravitating here. Im kein lama zeh anochi. Do I have identity? Do I have focus? Do I have a personality? It's worthless. To interpret it in one psychological life, the Alter Rebbe used the pasuk "Lo'ayim Lo'ayim Yematz" in chapter 9 to describe the drama of the conflict between the divine soul and the animal soul, embodied physically in Yaakov and Esav, Jacob and Esau. If man experiences himself as having one soul, then indeed, one moment he suddenly experiences transcendence, happiness, passion, godliness, spirituality, sacredness, idealism. He's happy. And then 5 minutes later or 5 days later, he experiences earthliness, negative impulses, cravings, animalistic urges, total self-centeredness, fear, insecurity. Who does not experience these polarities in life? It tears us apart. It tears us apart. Not just the conflict tears us apart. It tears apart because it shows us that our initial value system was worthless and insignificant. Says the prophet, Shnei Goyim Bekirbech. You're not a one-souled creature, you're a two-souled creature. If you would have a emes ha'isa kidivreim, as he says, if you would have nefesh achas, but be'emes la'amita, you have two nefashas. The tzaddik, now your question, the tzaddik transforms the nefesh ha-bahamas, or at least nullifies it, so they become allies. But that's not a state that everyone can reach, and you don't have to reach it, you don't have to become depressed if you don't reach it. The Beinoni, the ordinary man, experiences a duality, a conflict in his life. And this conflict asserts itself in the most powerful way when you're getting in touch with your divine soul, and that is during davening. So every person during davening has the ability to meditate on his soul. No one is liberated from that merit and from that obligation. You have a soul, and I have a soul, and he has a soul, and you can get in touch with it. First of all, by paying attention to it. And heeding and listening to its voice and to its melody and so forth. And that will create a response, a counterattack from the Nefesh HaBahamas. And don't worry about it. So what should be your response, says the Alter Rebbe? Accelerate your determination to daven more, to get more in touch with your divine soul. Turn to the shell and say, identify it. Say, okay, this was expected. This was expected. Laugh from yourself. Yes, this is who I am. It's funny. It's funny. You're Yom Kippur by Hashem Hu Elokim, and then suddenly you think about the most repulsive thing that you won't tell your neighbor and even your best friend. You know, these things you keep to yourself, yeah? Laugh at it. Say, yeah, this is our lot as human beings. As human beings who have the privilege to be soldiers in Hashem's army, who are not tzaddikim. Tzaddikim are not soldiers in an army. Tzaddikim are in a peaceful country. This is my lot. Laugh from it and continue. Continue the battle. Go weiter. Get in touch with your spiritual conscience. And I promise you, in 5 minutes, it's going to come back. And this time, we'll use even a better scheme, because it didn't get you the first time. It'll get deeper into your subconscious and dig out something that can really bother you. Oy vey, I really care about davening, I care about this. Go right to it, ignore it, don't allow it to deter you, don't allow that to destroy you. They tell the story about one of the Rebbes, I forget his name, prior to his passing, there was no evident successor. One of the great Polish Hasidic masters in Poland. So his students surrounding his deathbed said, "The Rebbe, who are we to go to after your soul leaves your body? Who is going to continue to give us guidance and inspiration in our journey on the face of this earth?" Instead of saying a name, the Rebbe said, "The Jew will be able, the Jew who will not be able," I'm sorry, instead of giving them a positive answer, whom they should take as a Rebbe, he gave them a negative answer, whom they should not take as a Rebbe. He said, anyone who gives you advice how to get rid of machshava zaris, how to get rid of extraneous thoughts that come into davening, you know he's not for you. The Rebbe passed away, and they came to one tzaddik, and they asked advice, which every Jew asks, and any serious Jew who embarks on a spiritual journey asks this question: how do I deal with times when I daven and all these machshava zaris fall in? So the tzaddik immediately responded, without skipping a heartbeat, "You do this, you do that, you meditate upon this, you meditate upon this, and it won't happen." Next, they come to the next person. He gave this type of advice. A third person gave this type of advice. Everyone had advice how to get rid of all these issues. You should be able to have a tranquil, true spiritual experience. Till they came to one Jew, and they said, "Rebbe, can you please give us an eighth advice from Machshava Zaris?" And he said, "The solution is that there is no solution. There's no solution." Does that mean that it's not a davening? No. It means that you have two souls. And you have the ability during davening to smack the lie in yourself, to smack it in the face that the tzaddik doesn't have the ability. Is it comfortable? No. Is it always easy? No. Is it frustrating? It can be frustrating. In a sense, in these words, the Alter Rebbe articulates one of, I think, the central themes of the Tanya. The Alter Rebbe doesn't often do that. He, in these few lines, he encapsulates maybe the central message, at least one of the central theme that pervades the entire book of the Tanya, which is, you have a duality in your life, and you're not going to nullify or obliterate that duality. You will not rid yourself. Most people, even with great toil and effort, will not rid themselves from that animalistic consciousness that will linger within you and produce passions, emotions, impulses, thoughts, and so forth. And if you realize, the Alter Rebbe here identifies the struggle in the mind. Other places, he discusses the struggle between the mind and the heart. Here he goes even further. It's a struggle in the mind. And that's even worse. Because it's an intellectual struggle. It's not just in the heart, between what you know what's right and what you have a disposition towards. That's also very difficult, obviously, on another level. But this is in the mayach. So you're not necessarily going to nullify it. In most cases, you will not nullify it. But that is not a reason for any type of melancholy. Depression. Despair or sadness. Your purpose is not to nullify it. Your purpose is to identify it. Identify that shell in you. When you have a thought or an impulse, identify it. Say, yes, this is coming from the insecure part of me. Identify the duality and isolate it. Don't get rid of it. You don't have to get rid of it. Which means, A, you don't have to fall into despair from all these impulses and thoughts, and B, you must never allow it, and you never have to allow it to take control over your life. Because you remember that it's not you. There is a you beyond that you. And your ultimate wholesomeness and joy and real identity and purpose is to connect with that you which is beyond that external you. And Alter Rebbe gives an example. Well, who can marshal? This is to use an example. It's similar to Adam HaMespalul B'Kavon, a person who is praying with devotion. Facing him, there stands a wicked heathen, who chats and speaks to him in order to confuse him. Forget about your own machshav azaris for a moment. Let's say you're davening with real kavana and meditation. And suddenly a man stands in front of you and his whole purpose is to bother you, to confuse you. So he'll talk, he'll chat, he'll bug you, he'll nudge you, he'll ask you what's going on. How do you deal with it? If this Aro Rasha would come to you because he wants to know what time it is. So sometimes the solution is tell him what time it is and he'll leave. But what happens if he's not there to ask you the time? He's there to ask you a question. Because he wants that a question should be asked from you. So what is it going to help to answer him the time? If you tell him what time it is, he'll ask you what's today's date. And if you tell him what today's date, he'll ask you another question, and so on and so forth. His purpose is leval b'loy. So the Alter Rebbe says, Shazay say tzase bevadi. Surely the best advice in this case is, don't give him any attention. Shalei lo hashiv le mitay vadra. Don't answer him neither good nor evil. Don't embrace him, nor should you scream or reject him. V'lasis atzmi kecheresh lo yishma. Rather to act as though he were deaf, without hearing. V'lekaya mashakosav to perform what the Pasuk says in Mishlei Perek Chavot. Altan ksil kav lase pentish v'leg hamata. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you too become like him. Kach, similar in this case, just as when you're dealing with the second physical person, you must realize that this is your own situation. There are two persons in you. Al yashiv mu'uma, do not answer anything. V'shum taino mayna. Nor should you engage in any argument, in any response, neged hamachshav hazar, against the extraneous thought, ki hamisabek minuvol misnavel gamkein. For one who wrestles with a filthy person is bound to become soiled and filthy himself. Rak yasa atzmei kelo yideya v'lo yishem meyayir hudim shenafulay. Instead, he should pretend not to know nor hear the foreign thoughts that occur to him, and he should dismiss them from his mind. In the analogy, in the nimshal, which we are discussing, Someone asking you a question means the other person is really interested in something. Something is bothering him. That would be an analogy to someone who can't begin davening because something is bothering him. So then you have to deal with that issue. You have to allow your mind to be cleansed from it, and you must engage it. It's a serious question. Its purpose is not to defeat you. Its purpose is not just as a response because you're davening and I want you to daven. It's really authentically bothering you. That you have to deal with. That's similar to a person who comes over to you and asks you a question. If by answering the question you can get rid of him and continue davening, go ahead. But if the whole purpose is leval beloy, as in this case, the animal soul is interested in one issue. The divine soul asserted itself somewhat. It sees you getting in touch with your spiritual truer consciousness. You might have a day of serenity, of clarity, of courage, of inspiration. A day where you will not utter a lie. A day where you won't cheat. A day where you won't deceive someone. A day where you won't fall prey to negative impulses that dominate you and threaten you. The buzzers go off. The emergency siren goes off, and the Nefesh HaBehemes attacks. So what do? And Alter Rebbe says, no taino mine. And this is a mistake people often make in their spiritual journeys. Okay, you won't entertain it, but you'll wrestle it. Okay, you won't wrestle with it. You won't wrestle with it, but you will be smarter than it. You will start meditating, how did it come to you? And where did it come from? And you will defeat it from its source. You will demonstrate to it that it's not really a concern. For example, you'll meditate about this itself. You'll engage in the Machshava Zara, not in a positive way, but in a negative way. You'll tell it, I know that you're really not here for your own sake. You're really here to bother me, and you shouldn't be here now, and I'm not going to fall prey to you. And sometimes, if you engage in that itself, that is exactly what it wants. The Alter Rebbe says, knowing this, you have to have this realization. Ignore it. Don't pay any attention to it. Don't pay any attention. After davening, meditate on it. Gesunte heit. You might find out some very significant psychological insights by meditating on it. Analyze it. See where it came from. See what evoked it. Fakert. Halos machshava zaris you can do after davening. Now it's out to get you. It's out to get you. Any engaging within it, any entertaining it, even in the most negative sense, even telling it you're bad and I'm not going to listen to you, don't do that. I'm misabekim and nuvel misnavel gamkein. When you wrestle with a filthy person, you're wrestling with a filthy person, you also become filthy. Stay away. And this is not easy, because it tells you, at least reject me. At least reject me. Come in. Debate me. It wants you to debate it. It wants you to debate it because it wants to take off your attention from your spiritual essence and give it attention. Says Dr. Rebbe, don't give it any attention. And that itself will allow it to go away. Because it's not fulfilling its purpose. It will come back again. But remember what is going on. Continue davening. Continue meditating on you were meditating before. Continue to focus on your spiritual soul. And on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Hashem. And on all the concepts discussed in Tefillah and so forth. Now when you say Yisira Midaite, this can also be tricky. You know, sometimes when you start thinking, okay, I'm not going to think this. So you find yourself not thinking about anything else but this. That's the psychological chemistry of a human being. So Yisira Midaite doesn't mean, okay, I'm not going to think about you now. It means, Alter Rebbe is telling you Yisira Midaite. You don't tell it, I'm not going to think about you now. Silently, make yourself as if you're deaf. That's not easy. As if you never heard it. Don't give yourself attention by the fact that you're not giving it attention. Because that means you're giving it attention. Go weiter. Go weiter. Now, arrogance can play a powerful role here. I can't go weiter. I experienced it. How can I experience such a thing? You cannot tolerate the fact that you're not perfect. Then go back to Perek Chof Zayin. Go back to Perek Chof Zayin. You're expecting things in your life that are not relevant to you. That's not your mission. It's not your purpose. And it's coming from an unhealthy self-esteem. And sometimes that's the reason we want to engage in the Machshava Zayin, because we want to get rid of it from within. Says Dr. Rebbe, you're not going to get rid of it. You're not going to get rid of it from within. Ignore it and be happy with that lot. You're not a tzaddik, and you don't have to be a tzaddik, and your life can be celebrated not as a tzaddik in the most extraordinary, tremendous fashion. So that's also a tricky issue. So what is the point? The point is the Beinoni, the Jew, doesn't struggle in a vacuum. He experiences a war like every war, where there are two sides, there are two nationalities, there are two elements. When your enemy attacks you, does it mean that you were unsuccessful, that you're valueless? No! It means that your war is bringing you somewhere, your battle and efforts is bringing you somewhere, and therefore the enemy began fighting in a very strong way. It might not be comfortable, but never fall into despair from it. This is the lot of the Beinoni, the soldier who fights Hashem's war, which sometimes is difficult, which sometimes can seem unbearable, but it's a war. It is a war for your soul. It's a war for the truth. It's a war for the spiritual course of existence. And in the consequences of this personal, individual psychological war depends the destiny of the entire creation. And the Alter Rebbe concludes, let's conclude the last line. V'im yikshe leila hasira midayte, v'pnei shetoydim dayte ma'id b'chazak. If, however, he finds it difficult to dismiss them, they are distracting his mind with too much intensity. It's just unbearable. Your mind is going haywire from these distracting thoughts. You cannot dismiss them. Azai yashpil nafshe l'Hashem. He should humble his soul before Hashem. V'yischanan l'yizbarech b'machshavte. He should supplicate and beg from Hashem in his thought. L'rachim alav b'rachim av hamerubim. To have compassion upon him in his abundant mercies. Kirachim av albanim hanimshachim imeiche. Like a father who takes pity on his children who stem from his mind. A father doesn't have compassion on a child as you have compassion on a stranger. A child, as explained at length in chapter 2, comes from the father's mind, which means that the very substance that creates a child is in essence a projection of the father's intimate soul, the mind being the abode of the soul, a continuum of the father's quintessential psyche. So a child is part of the psyche and identity of his father. True, he emerged into a distinct being, but in essence is one with its father. V'kacha yirachim Hashem al nafshei hanemshachis miti yizbarach. So too he begs Hashem should be compassionate on his soul, which derives from Hashem's mind. We are his children in the sense that we are a projection of Hashem's intimate self. La'atzila mimayim azidoinim, to rescue it from the turbulent waters. There's a concept of family loyalty. You have to be loyal to your family. There's a special loyalty to have to your family. So at this moment, the Jew humbles his soul. He turns to Hashem in a very personal way. And he begs him to help him. To help him be able to discover serenity in his prayer. Clarity. Uncloudedness. To be able to pierce beyond the partition of the klipa, the veil of the curtain, and to get in touch with his soul. He can't. The distractions are too awesome. Beg him like a father has mercy on a child who is part of the reality of his father. Rescue me from the turbulent waters that want to drown my soul. And Alter Rebbe concludes the chapter with a promise. He tells the learner, I promise you, ulamana yasa, for his sake, for the Jews' sake, Hashem will do it. Ki chelek Hashem mamish amay. Since his people is truly a part of Hashem. Every Jew is truly a part and parcel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality. As Dr. Rebbe said in chapter 2, your soul is a chelek aleikam mal mamish. Here he paraphrases a pasuk in Ki chelek Hashem mamish hazinu. The nation is a part of Hashem, so to speak. And Alter Rebbe understands that literally, not in the physical sense, but in the conceptual sense that a Jew's soul is a projection and a continuum of Hashem's intimacy, of Hashem's intimate self. And therefore, says Alter Rebbe, Lemana Yasa, he will do it for you. He'll do it for you. And you'll be able to continue davening and learning with the serenity of your own spiritual soul. The story is told, we'll conclude with this, that we mentioned earlier the Chayza of Lublin, the Seer of Lublin. He was one of the greatest Hasidic masters in Poland. His name was Rabbi Yaakov Yitzchak Horowitz. He passed away in the year 1815, Tov Kofayin Hay. He was a colleague at the Alter Rebbe, of the Alter Rebbe. They both studied at the feet of the Maggid of Mizrich. He passed away 2 years after the Alter Rebbe. The Alter Rebbe passed away 1812, Tov Kofayin Gimel, and he passed away 1815. His passing was actually a very tragic event, which we will not get into at the moment. It was one Rosh Hashanah morning, the hour in which they would usually sound the shofar in the holy shul of the Seer of Lublin has long passed. The Chayza of Lublin, the Seer of Lublin, was secluded in a study, isolated, alone. He would not come out to shul. After many hours, the chassidim, his followers, chose one of his extraordinary disciples, Reb David of Lelev, the holy Reb David Lelever, who was dispatched on the fearful mission to knock on the seer's door and to ask, to find out what is amiss. He comes to the door. It was partially opened. He glimpses at his Rebbe's face, and he sees that it was pale with terror, and it was red from crying and weeping. The Seer of Lublin sees him, and he says, "Reb David, I see in heaven a terrible, devastating decree that is to befall the Jewish people this year. I have been praying, beseeching the Almighty this whole morning from dawn to nullify the decree, but to no avail." And he threw his hands down in despair and total grief and misery. Suddenly, the Chayza noticed a young boy standing near Reb David Lelever. So he asks Reb David, "Who is this lad?" He says, "His name is Yitzchak. He's an orphan. He was orphaned at a very young age, and I took him into my home." This Yitzchak later became Reb Yitzchak Varker, an extraordinary Hasidic master known as the holy Reb Yitzchak Varker. So the Seer of Lublin asks the child to come into his room. To Reb David's Lelever's surprise, he says, "Tell me, my dear boy Yitzchakol, which Gemara have you learned lately?" So he tells him which Gemara. "What is the issue you're discussing lately?" So he tells him. He says, "Tell me a pesach Talmudic chiddush, a Talmudic original insight into what you're learning." The Lelever is somewhat surprised. The Chayza of Lublin was in such a state of misery, and now he's entering into a Talmudic discussion as if nothing happened. So the boy begins talking. A young man, a young lad, Yitzhak. He says, we just concluded a Talmudic section dealing with the laws of Eidus, the laws of witnesses. And I have a very difficult question on those laws. The law is that if you're a relative of someone, you are not qualified to be a witness and testify on an issue concerning this relative, a father, a brother, a son, whatever it is. And the law is that you're not allowed to say testimony in a positive way, nor in a negative way. My question is, I understand why you cannot trust a relative to say, to testify about the positive element of his relative, because he's biased. I want my father, my brother, or whatever, to be victorious in the court. But I don't understand. If the relative is ready to testify in the detriment of his relative, why is he not allowed to do it? So the Seer of Lublin says, no, good question. Do you have an answer? He says, yeah, I thought of an answer. The Pasuk says in Parashas Shoftim, talking about witnesses, Va'amdu shnei anashim asher lahem ariv lifnei Hashem lifnei hakoyanim v'ashoftim asher bayamim ahem. The two men, and the Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed, and Rashi brings it interpreted on the two witnesses. The two persons have to stand in front of God, in front of the priests, in front of the judges that will be then, that will exist then, and say testimony. The Gemara derives from there that va'amdu, that the two witnesses have to give testimony while they're standing, and other things that we learn from this pasuk in the Gemara in Shavuos. So Rabbi Yitzchak Varka says, so the pasuk says, va'amdu shnei ha'anashim. The two persons have to stand. You have to have human beings, you have to have persons. And someone who's ready to testify against his father, against his brother, against his son, is kinmenschnicht, he's not a human being. The Seer of Lublin broke out in a huge smile. He raised his eyes to heaven and he said, God, you heard? A father who condemns his children is kinmenschnicht. And he turned to the Reb David Lulliver and to Yitzchak and he said, now let's go hear the sound of the shofar. Have a good day and a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.